Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, part of the national network of ADA centers grant-funded by the Department of Health and Human Services is the Rocky Mountain ADA Center. And the Rocky Mountain ADA Center exists to provide information, guidance, training, and free technical assistance on the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is tailored to meet the needs of individuals and organizations in Colorado and Colorado Springs, the center based right here in Colorado Springs. So joining us this morning to talk more about why this is so special for the Rocky Mountain ADA. And when I'm telling you what is so special, the month of July is so special. That's because it is the 32nd anniversary month of the Americans with Disability Act. We have Emily Schumann, who's the director of the Rocky Mountain ADA Center here. First of all, welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, and I'm so glad that you're going to be able to share with our listeners what is special and what the Rocky Mountain ADA Center does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you did a great job of covering who we are. We are one of the nation's 10 regional ADA centers federally funded by the Department of Health and Human Services. And we do serve all of Colorado as well as five other states, being a regional center. We exist, you know, we're all about trying to promote voluntary compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act, which of course is a civil rights act that protects people with disabilities. And, you know, to do that, you mentioned some of our services. We provide training, we provide free technical assistance or answers to questions. We help people understand their rights and responsibilities under the Americans with Disabilities Act. We have lots of materials. We do some research. Generally, we're all about the ADA and disability, and so folks can get in touch with us if they have questions or are looking to know more about what their rights are or just really how the ADA applies to them.
Let's drill down on some of the services the center can provide.
Absolutely. So I mentioned that technical assistance. I would say that's probably the biggest, kind of one of our core services. So as I mentioned, people can call us or, you know, get in touch with us online through our website or social media and say, hey, you know, my employer, I've got this disability. My employer, you know, is being kind of resistant to accommodating me. Can you help me out? And we have information specialists who are able to help answer those questions on the spot. And not just employment, right, but any aspect of the ADA, whether it's access to a business or a state and local government organization, education, all those types of things are covered under the ADA. So simply answering those questions and helping guide people on what are their rights or responsibilities and what to do next, that's one of our biggest services. We also provide training to lots of organizations in our region who want their staff in particular to know, how to make sure that they're not unintentionally discriminating against people with disabilities. So training is a big aspect of what we do. We also have some really great and helpful pocket guides and posters, things like that, that are available for people who need to have information at hand. And we do quite a bit of research on the ADA implementation, barriers to implementation. So we really try to understand, you know, what's happening currently with the ADA and how can we, again, facilitate that voluntary compliance.
Would you say, I mean, given its history and, and hopefully you'll share more a little bit about the history, would you say, though, that prior to the ADA's creation or maybe leading up into the years of the ADA's creation, that people in America really had, I think, maybe a mindset of that those with disabilities should conform to what was existing already in the world? And that since the ADA's creation, at least there has been a movement toward better practice of that the world should conform to what makes it accessible to those with disabilities. Would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. What you're talking about is actually pretty well identified the medical model of disability versus the social model of disability. The medical model is where there's something wrong with the person, right? It's the person that needs to be fixed to fit the environment, whereas the social model of disability says that our environment needs to be fixed to make it accessible and make it so that anybody, regardless of disability, can participate fully in all aspects of life. And so that's really what the ADA is going for, is full implementation of that social acceptance and accessibility for Americans with disabilities. And definitely, so to share a little bit more about the history, the ADA was passed July 26, 1990, by George H.W. Bush, and it was highly seen as a highly bipartisan landmark civil rights law that was kind of the first comprehensive civil rights law protecting people with disabilities in all areas of public life. Before that, there were some laws that applied to federal buildings and federal programs, but they just weren't good enough, and they had taken so long to get that work done that people with disabilities were, they were upset. There was, some protests and activism that led up to the passing of the ADA, and it really absolutely has changed things for people with disabilities in this country.
And, it's interesting, you mentioned George H.W. Bush. I just looked up on Wikipedia. That is the first piece of legislation that he signed that is mentioned in his Wikipedia entry. So that kind of shows the importance of it. I mean, up there with, the Clean Air Act, which he also signed. Uh-huh. So, it definitely, definitely shows that. I mean, because making things equitable and accessible, that's kind of boiling down to providing people that they can exercise their basic civil rights despite or in the face of any disability, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing that we always tell people is that the ADA is not about giving people handouts or a leg up or, it's not a welfare program. It's simply about putting people on an equal playing field, giving everybody equal opportunity to participate. It doesn't guarantee equal outcomes. Everybody's still going to get what they put into life. Like you said, basic human rights, should allow for everybody in America, even those with disabilities, to get what they need to have that equal opportunity, for the pursuit of happiness.
Mm. Well, we're going to talk much more with Emily Schumann about the Rocky Mountain ADA Center and the importance of the ADA's 32nd anniversary. That's right. 32 years we were talking about since President H.W. Bush signed that, George H.W. Bush signed that into law. When we come back, more of The Extra. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Emily Schumann, the director of the Rocky Mountain ADA, is our guest today. And Emily, before the break, I was mentioning it's the 32nd anniversary of that very important act. So why don't you tell us what the significance of it is?
Yeah, so, we just always love the anniversary of the ADA because, it's always an opportunity for us to think about all of the progress that's been made in those last 32 years, all of the buildings that have become more accessible, programs that have become more accessible, the ways that the ADA has influenced, overall accessibility and the ability for people with disabilities to participate in life. It's a great opportunity for us to look back and recognize the progress that we've made. But it's also a great opportunity for us to look forward and think about, where can we go from here and what still needs to be done. We're always, the anniversary is in about 5 days. We're doing a lot of outreach to different organizations, media appearances, just to raise awareness and get people thinking about, how does the ADA, impact you?
Mm. And one aspect that has evolved over this time is, back when this was signed, I'm sure 32 years ago, online online accessibility was really probably not as much a thing. Now it has become. Let's talk about digital accessibility and why it's important.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right. So, you know, we mentioned that the ADA was passed in 1990. And so, you know, as we all know, it back in 1990, the internet and, you know, these digital lives that we're living simply was not a thing. Like you said, that just wasn't taking place. And so over time, as society has evolved into more of a digitally connected community, we've had to figure out, wait, how can we make sure this is equitable for people with disabilities? And so this is still one of the areas where I would say we need to make progress. There are no enforceable standards for website accessibility under the ADA currently. There are some standards that exist as best practices for website accessibility and that are enforceable under other laws, but they have yet to be adopted by the ADA. So we're really hoping to see that coming forward, in hopefully the next couple of years. So that those standards can start to be adopted. And that's helpful for businesses because that tells them what they need to do instead of just making it sort of like this nebulous requirement. You have to be accessible without providing guidance on what that looks like.
And there's a Colorado law new on the books that's also kind of advancing that idea. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. This new Colorado law, it's just called Colorado House Bill 21-1110. It's a first of its kind law in the whole nation. So we're really, paving the way for this type of state law. But basically, the law requires all state and local government organizations to have accessible websites. And that does reference that web content accessibility guideline, or WCAG. That's that standard I mentioned. So that is going to be the enforceable standard under Colorado law. And so all state and local governments have to have made their websites accessible by July 1st, 2024. And if they don't, people with disabilities have the right to file a complaint, which can come with what's called injunctive relief. So basically, that would be a fine to the state and local government organization of $3,500, for each infraction. So there's some monetary sort of incentive for state and local governments to get their websites accessible. So again, like I said, first of its kind in the nation, and it goes above and beyond what the ADA requires. So we're on the cutting edge with website accessibility here in Colorado.
And do you think this is a model that may be replicated across the nation if it goes well in Colorado?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I think in the next couple of years, as we see the impact that this law has had on web accessibility, I think absolutely other states, we could see them adopting it.
And we don't talk about this much. I mean, the ADA is very clear in what it spells out that's required of businesses and governments as well. But what about the burden? Because there is a burden that's associated with becoming more accessible, whether it's financial, manpower, et cetera. What does, is there anything that I guess the ADA has a stance on when it talks to businesses, for instance, that say, this is more than, my little mom and pop shop can handle?
Yeah, absolutely. So, the ADA does recognize that sometimes, that's actually called undue burden. That's a concept within the ADA, that sometimes making expensive changes for a mom and pop shop, that would be what's known as an undue burden. And that can be either a financial strain or just something that would present, significant difficulty. And in those cases, the ADA just says, hey, do what you can. And let's try to find alternative ways of removing barriers for people. So, maybe you can't put an elevator in your building because that's too expensive, but maybe you can relocate your programs to the first floor so that you don't have to, so people with disabilities have access to that, even with no elevator in the building. So there's usually a solution, and you know, something that we is a real common misconception is that these barrier removals are going to be expensive or really cumbersome, and that's really, you know, again, why the ADA Center exists, is so that those businesses can call on us and say, hey, you know, I can't put an elevator in my building, what can I do instead? And we can help them work through those questions.
Okay, and we have mentioned, I think, before in this broadcast, but the Rocky Mountain ADA Center's website is very easy, rockymountainada.org. And is there a phone number that people can reach out to as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's 1-800-949-4232.
929-4232. All right, we'll be back with more with Emily Schumann as we celebrate July being the anniversary month for the Rocky Mountain ADA. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back. We are back with the second half of the Extra Today. Today, our focus is on the Rocky Mountain ADA Center, this month marking the 32nd anniversary month for the ADA, the act that created it. And Emily Schumann is our guest. She is the director of the Rocky Mountain ADA Center. Emily, let's talk about why it is a good idea to make your business accessible and how the ADA helps to bring businesses along in that journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I don't think we've mentioned this yet. But, you know, the conservative estimate is that America is home to 61 million adults with disabilities, which is about 1 in 4 people. Disability, anybody, any one of us can acquire a disability at any time in life, and most people will acquire a disability with age. So you're talking a huge population of people that are could be potentially your customers of your business. And, you know, if we want to put some numbers to that, the disposable income for adults with disabilities in the United States is about $490 billion. So almost $500 billion of disposable income just in America of adults with disabilities. So that's a lot of spending power that your business could be taking advantage of if it's accessible. And even to expand on that, if you look at globally, there's about 1.85 billion people that have disabilities, and altogether are wielding about $8 trillion in disposable income. So if you're a business that you know, is in the global market, particularly if you are, you know, doing business online, that type of thing, you know, it's a huge consumer group. It actually would comprise the world's third largest economic power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in perspective, people with disabilities constitute a market the size of China plus the European Union globally. So it's just there's an opportunity, you know, for your bottom line. I mean, of course, it's the law, right? The ADA is the law of the land, and you have to comply or you could risk liability and be open to you know, having complaints filed against you. But it's also, you know, really good for your bottom line. There's, you know, again, some billions and trillions of dollars on the line. So I think that's, you know, that's a great idea. That's, you know, part of why it makes it a great idea to make your business accessible.
Yeah, that's the carrot and stick approach, I think, is what you're mentioning. The carrot being the economic benefits that you mentioned in that market group. But also, you know, there is the liability potential. excuse me. And you mentioned something very interesting, and I was thinking about that. Yes, you're right, because especially as people age, I mean, loss of sight is always a threat. Loss of hearing, always a threat. Mobility becomes a threat with a risk with a lot of people. And that's not counting people who, you know, get in accidents or suffer concussions. I mean, all these avenues that can lead to someone who thought, well, that's not a group that includes me, to suddenly being included in this group.
Yeah, Absolutely. I think something like 60% of us are guaranteed to acquire a disability with age.
Wow.
And so you're almost certain in your lifetime to either have a disability yourself or love someone who has a disability. Those are the types of statistics and things that we really think help to foster that voluntary compliance, because it can be really eye-opening to understand, this probably will apply to me. If not now, sometime in the future.
Mm. Emily, why don't you discuss how the center can customize trainings for businesses so that businesses and business owners and managers can learn more about, for instance, storefront accessibility or digital accessibility?
Yeah, so I mentioned at the top, one of our services is providing training, and while we do have a pretty large bank of sort of off the shelf training on topics, just like the basics of the ADA, we often work with customers who are like, we really need a number of things. We need a little bit on disability etiquette. We need to learn about that digital or storefront accessibility. Can you kind of put it all together for us in a way that's going to make sense and apply to, directly to what we're doing and make it relevant for us? And so we have the ability to really customize that to meet the needs of the organization seeking training. We have a full-time trainer who is, the go-to for ADA training in the region. We have an instructional designer. We're just really well qualified to, mold our trainings to meet your needs, if you decide you want to learn more about the ADA and move forward on that.
All right. Well, we have much more to come with Emily Schumann of the Rocky Mountain ADA Center. Again, we're discussing the Rocky Mountain ADA Center itself, as well as the Americans with Disabilities Act, the act that created it, and the act that was signed into law some 32 years ago. So we are marking 32 years of this being in existence, an evolution that has happened in public life, but also an evolution that protects and provides for the civil rights of those with disabilities. We will have more of The Extra when we continue here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra as we finish up our final segment here. We're going to ask Emily Schumann to recap some of the things we've discussed, but let's talk about the ADA anniversary. So when it actually hits, do you have a cake? Do you blow out candles or something?
Not quite. I mean, we definitely celebrate. It is a joyful day for us around the office. It's also just a really busy week because we have so many events and appearances and outreach that we're doing. So it's an exciting time. Like I said, it's an opportunity to reflect on what we've accomplished and kind of congratulate ourselves for doing some good work in this country for the last 32 years.
How would you say the Rocky Mountain ADA Center has evolved over those 32 years?
Oh, gosh. Well, the Rocky Mountain ADA Center is unique among the 10 centers in that it has resided with the same organization the whole time. So the ADA centers came up a year after the ADA was passed. So the ADA centers are just a year younger than the ADA. So the Rocky Mountain ADA Center has been around for 31 years. And it's really had to evolve along with society, right? So in the beginning of the center, there wasn't a lot of guidance out there on the ADA for, from the Department of Justice or from the EEOC, those enforcing agencies. So information
few cases would have been... I was going to say a few cases would have been brought forward at that time, right? Testing what the law was designed to do.
Right. Yeah. So it was really kind of, there was not, not a whole lot of information out there. And so, that's at this point, now it's so easy to look stuff up on the internet and we can even contact the Department of Justice and get more information directly from them if needed. And at the beginning of the center's operation, it just wasn't like that. And everybody was kind of in the same sort of, we're all figuring out this out together kind of boat.
Hmm. And then the services that you provide, how did that, switch up over the years or expand?
Kind of same answer. We've evolved quite a lot to providing more services in digital spaces as that's become more and more important in society as a whole. So, we offer training, as I've mentioned a few times, and we offer that virtually if that's helpful to businesses. We have a website that is just chock full of information on the ADA. We are active on, I think, around six or eight, maybe even eight social media platforms where we connect with our stakeholders and constituents. We have an online blog, we have a podcast. So much of what we do has transitioned to, connecting with folks in those digital spaces versus in the beginning, it was really just the phone line. And you might sometimes have a walk-in, someone who wanted to ask some questions on a walk-in basis. So I think we've evolved to have the ability to reach people further and faster as time has gone on.
And you talk about being reachable and accessible. Was that difficult when COVID was shutting so many things down? And I assume your office went virtual for a while or remote for a while during the worst of the COVID.
Actually, it was not that difficult for us. I
Oh,
mean,
that's good.
we did go remote, yeah, and we had to, we had to acquire some new equipment to keep everybody operational, I think, as a lot of businesses did. But because we are a regional center and we're used to working with people who may be really far away from us, our model is already kind of set up to where we weren't doing a lot of in-person, walk-in kind of technical assistance. We were mostly always doing it either on the phone or over email. So the biggest impact definitely was training. But like everyone else, we quickly adapted to that virtual, Zoom training sort of webinar modality. And then, now we're slowly working back to providing in-person training, which definitely is important for certainly the more rural areas of our region to be there in person because those communities don't always have, really reliable internet access, for a virtual training.
And just even thinking about it, and we had been talking earlier how gaining or acquiring a disability that then puts you in need of some of the protections that the ADA offers and provides. I mean, that is something that is also an outgrowth for certain patients, not a lot of them. It does not sound like, and I'm saying that anecdotally, I don't have the numbers right at my hand, fingertips, but for people who did have coronavirus and ended up in the hospital, I mean, some of them have continued to deal with long-term effects that certainly impacts their ability to, have the same mobility that they did before, or have the same, health that they did before. So, just another example. We were talking about aging and loss of eyesight, loss of, mobility. We're talking about how this then could place you into a group that maybe you didn't think of yourself as ever belonging to. But then, speaking of belonging to a group that has quite a bit of economic might, which actually does, I think, appeal to businesses that are looking to maybe make themselves more accessible, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anytime we can talk about, tapping into the world's third largest economic power, that's probably going to be pretty enticing to businesses. And we didn't even earlier we didn't even really talk about the fact that people with disabilities have friends and family members and all those loved ones who also have money to spend and who are going to be loyal to businesses that are prove that they value their loved one with a disability, right? So you could even add in those dollars as a business. If you're accessible to people with disabilities, you're getting that disabled person's dollar, but you're probably getting their friends and family's dollars as well.
Interesting. Again, we want to mention the website, RockyMountainADA.org. The Rocky Mountain ADA, well, the ADA, I should say, the Americans with Disabilities Act, marking its 32nd anniversary. The center here marking its 31st anniversary, it sounds like, so just a year behind. What would you like our listeners to know? Well, first of all, let's mention to our listeners, you can go to RockyMountainADA.org on the website. website to find out more about all the services offered and what the Rocky Mountain ADA Center does. But what would you like our listeners to take away from this hour-long conversation here, Emily?
Well, you know, obviously we've touched on several different topics, and there's so much to know about the ADA. So what I really would love listeners to come away with is just knowing that we are a resource to them anytime they have a question, you know, whether it's directly related to the ADA or just related to disability in general. We're, you know, we have lots of resources and connections and network that we can, you know, help you tap into and point you in the right direction. So I really just want people to know that we're a resource for them. You know, they can call us anytime, free of charge. It's confidential. We're not an enforcement agency. We're not an advocacy group. We're strictly information. So, you know, I really hope listeners can feel confident giving us a call with their questions or, as you mentioned, visiting us online.
All right. Again, RockyMountainADA.org is the website you can go to. As they mentioned, the best training and resources on the Americans with Disabilities Act can be found right on this website. And follow along on their journey as well. Follow their social media posts. Follow their blog, because I bet that is a fun thing where you get to find out more about maybe the ins and outs of the ADA and the Rocky Mountain ADA Center. Well, Emily Schumann, who is the director of the center, thank you for joining us here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And if you would like to listen to this over again, we'll get it posted over on our podcast page at krdonews.com, krdo.com, I should say, under the radio slot. We'll have more with The Extra coming up tomorrow at 9 a.m. Tom Martino is up ahead. You're listening to KRDO News Radio.